way down to a crawl as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. And part of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' instruction on prayer. In the model prayer, or commonly called the Lord's Prayer, I took 2 weeks to talk about prayer, and then last week to talk about the preface to the Lord's Prayer, which is Our Father which art in heaven. If you have only two or three passages of Scripture committed to memory, then probably the Lord's Prayer is one of them. And it's very likely that you have it committed to memory in the King James Version of the Bible. And if you do not yet have the Lord's Prayer memorized, then you should memorize it. I don't think it matters whether you memorize it in the King James Version or whether you memorize it in a modern translation. The point is that we should be able to use this as a help for us to pray. It's entirely legitimate that we would pray it just as we find it. Just don't do it mindlessly. Just think about what you're saying. I use this as an outline for my daily prayer time so that I end up praying through the model prayer for 20 or 25 minutes. So obviously I'm doing more than just saying the phrases that are here. There are various things that I pray for under the preface to the Lord's Prayer and the six petitions that follow. So let's read the Lord's Prayer, beginning with verse 7. We'll start with verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So today I'm going to concentrate our entire time on that first petition, hallowed or hallowed be your name. Most of us probably have learned to say hallowed be your name. And I think that that's probably because we learned it from people who learned it from their grandparents, who learned it from their grandparents, all the way back into the 1600s, when if you had an ED ending on a word, you pronounced it. And so for centuries, people were pronouncing the EDs on the end of the word. They wouldn't say hallowed, they would have said hallowed, and so I think that's probably the primary way that we come down saying hallowed be thy name. A couple of nights ago, my daughter Naomi and I watched the movie Gladiator. First time she had ever seen it, probably the third time that I've seen it. And the next day we were sitting, next morning we were sitting on the porch talking about it, and she was expressing her admiration for the courage of a man like the Russell Crowe character, the character played by Russell Crowe, Maximus, and just how brave he was and how she admired men like that and hoped that one day a man like that would come into her life. Just like her dad. And she said, do you know people like that? And I started naming off people at Bullet Lick that I think are men like that, men of courage, men who embrace the responsibility of standing up for what is right, regardless of the cost, men who have embraced the responsibility of providing for and protecting for their wives and the people who are under their responsibility. I named off probably 10 men that I at Bullet Lick and could have gone on. Now, my history with Bullet Lick started about 20 years ago When I was asked by someone who was on staff here, a few of you would remember him, and I'd call his name if I could remember it, but he had known me from school, and he asked me if I could come and speak at the Wild Game Supper. So I came and spoke at the Wild Game Supper, and then I don't know if it was the next year, but I got asked back again, and I got asked back four times. I spoke at the Wild Game Supper four times, and so but I didn't know anybody's name. The only 10 years ago, the only people in this building besides my own family that I knew were Jimmy and Heather Winfrey and Lorenzo Gutierrez. And I had only known Lorenzo as a little boy about 9 years old. And so, well, 10 years ago, he was about nine. But I didn't know people's names here at Bullet Lick. I'd met some people, but then when I came back the next time, I couldn't call anyone by name. And 10 years ago, if Naomi had said, "Do you know anybody like that? Anybody like that brave character in Gladiator?" I would not have named anybody at Bullet Lick because I didn't know you. But now, if I call a name, and we've been here for about 6 years now, so I started calling the names of men at Bullet Lick, and Naomi knew who I was talking about and was able to... She didn't say, "Yeah, he would," or "No, he wouldn't," but she knew the character of the people that I was naming. You see, it wasn't just a pronunciation of a certain sequence of letters. There's a character behind that name. And when I call the name of someone here at Bullet Lick that I know, I'm not just barely remembering your name. There are character qualities that you have demonstrated. There's character that you have revealed to me. So the name is something like a switch that turns on a light that illuminates what I know about you. And so when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," the name of God is His revealed character. It's not just the word that is pronounced when you put the letters G-O-D together, or when you put the letters J-E-S-U-S together. That is His name, but it's just kind of like the switch that it turns on what you know about God. And what you know about God should always be growing. Now, as part of that introduction, I've already gotten into the first point, which is the definition of terms. We need to understand what is meant by name, and we need to understand what is meant by hallowed or hallowed. And then secondly, what are we praying for when we ask, "Hallowed be thy name"? Thirdly, then we'll seek to answer, how does God primarily answer this prayer? So let's first of all make sure that we understand the terms name and hallowed. So name first. Name is God's revealed character. And I think in the context of the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer, it's especially the name that we have just mentioned in the preface. And that is our Father which art in heaven, our Father who is in heaven. And so help us, we're saying, help us to understand who you are and the way that you have revealed yourself to us when you say that you are our Father in heaven. He is a God who reveals himself. And when I pray through this on a daily basis, then I will pray, "Lord, help me to understand who you are. All that you reveal about yourself, I pray that you'll help me to know it and to embrace it." So when we hallow God's name, what does the word hallow mean? I don't think we ever use it in everyday conversation except when we say Halloween. Halloween. So Halloween is an abbreviation of Hallowed Evening or All Hallows Eve. And All Hallows Eve is the day before All Saints Day. So in the Roman Catholic calendar of the year, there is a saint that is assigned to every day of the year. The only one that I know of is October 4th. It's the day of St. Francis of Assisi. That's my birthday. And so St. Francis of Assisi, October 4th. I don't know what other days there are. But there is one day that is All Saints Day, and that's November 1st. And so the day before All Saints Day is All Hallows Eve, which we just call Halloween. And it virtually bears no resemblance whatsoever to hallowing anything sacred anymore. But one would think that in the old days, this was, we're getting ready for a day when we are going to show reverence to not just some of the saints, but to all the saints. So it's all Halloween. But that's about the only time we use the word hallow, unless you happen to have the Gettysburg Address committed to memory. When Abraham Lincoln says, we have come together to set apart this piece of ground, but in a stricter sense, we cannot hallow, we cannot consecrate this ground because it has already been consecrated by the brave men who fought here and who gave their lives. But other than that, we almost never use the word hallowed. So what does it mean? Well, when something is hallowed, it is set apart as sacred. So when Abraham Lincoln said, we've come to hallow this ground, we are now going to make it a place that is set apart as a cemetery for the people who died here. Yesterday evening we were watching the Olympics, and it was that section of the Olympics when they gave about 20 minutes to talk about D-Day. And we were just sitting down to supper, and we usually turn off the television when we eat supper, but we were all interested in that. And so we were sitting at the table, and one of these old men, 99, 100 years old, said, I was not a hero, but I was among heroes. And then for the next 20 minutes, without commercial interruption, they interviewed these older men, and now they're 99, 100 years old. One of them was 103 years old. And they relived that day more than 80 years ago when... 80 years ago, when the Allied forces landed on the beaches of Normandy. And it was time for me to pray and ask the blessing on the food. But I had that great big lump in my throat. And if you haven't noticed, I cannot cry and preach at the same time. I can't cry and do anything at the same time. And I was just about to lose it. And so I'm looking at the TV, and my family's sitting there, you know, waiting for the blessing. So I just asked a real quick blessing, because if I'd prayed very much, I was going to cry. Just, Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. They just kind of smiled at me like, yeah, Dad's about to turn into a blubbering person. But above the beach there at Normandy, there is that very impressive cemetery where all of these white crosses. Where all of these boys, 18, 19, 20-year-old boys, are buried. And they gave their lives for a worthy cause. I mean, Hitler was going to do bad things to the whole world, and they knew that he had to be stopped. And so they did what they were told, and they fought bravely for freedom, and they gave their lives, thousands upon thousands of them, cut down by the enemy guns. Now, can you imagine what it's like? I mean, if you've got a lick of sense to walk in that cemetery and to think about those boys. Some of you probably have seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, and Private Ryan is shown as an old man, and he's at the cemetery, and he's seeing the graves of some of these men who were died in the effort to deliver him when he was a captive, or whatever the case was. It's been years since I've seen the movie. But I remember this part, that with tears in his eyes, he says to his children, "Tell me I've been a good man. Tell me I've been a good man. Because these men died so that I could live." And so when he's at the graveside, he's full of reverence. He's full of respect. He has affection for these men and what they have done. And he reads their names, and it's not just some unknown name that he pronounces. He knows that behind that, there's the character of a brave young man who gave his life. And that tells you what it means to hallow God's name. It's not just you don't cuss. It's that God has done so much. He gave his son. He's our Father in heaven. When you think of your Father in heaven, there rises up inside of you tremendous respect. And not just respect, but affection. And not just affection, but love. And not just love, but worship. All of that is included in what it means to hallow God's name. You respect him. You embrace what he has revealed about himself. You appropriate it into your life. Your life is changed. You want to be a good man. You want to be a good woman because of the name of this great God. And you love him. You worship him. And so that's what it means to hallow God's name. So what are we praying for when we say, "Hallowed be thy name"? Well, in this first petition, we're praying that God would... Well, here's what it says in the Catechism. In the first petition, which is, "Hallowed be thy name," we pray that God would enable us and others to glorify him in all that whereby he maketh himself known, and that he would dispose all things to his own glory. So there really are two prayers that we are praying when we say, "Hallowed be thy name." The first thing is that we're praying that we and others would be able to recognize the way that God reveals himself. Now, as I was putting the finishing touches on this sermon this morning and thinking about what I was going to say, I was sitting there in my easy chair. No one else was up yet. The light of dawn was just coming through the windows. And I asked myself, how's God revealing himself in this room? So the room that I sit in is a sitting room that's adjoined to the kitchen, so I can see all the way to the stove at the other end of the kitchen. And the first thing I thought, I looked down at my own arm and I thought, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now look down at the floor, hardwood floor, and there's all this beautiful grain that's in the wood. Now looked over and our kitchen countertop is a piece of granite. That's a rock. It's been cut and polished, but it's a rock. God made that grain. God made that rock. I look over there and I look at our pantry, and we've got so much food in there that it would take us a month to eat everything that's in that refrigerator and in that pantry. God is generous. God is creative. God is beautiful. God is amazing. And just all around me, I've got a vase of dahlias sitting on the kitchen table where we eat. God's glory is everywhere. And when we pray, "May your name be hallowed," we're praying that God would enable us and others to glorify him in all that whereby he makes himself known. And this is just the sort of thing, you don't even have to open the Bible to see it. I did not attend Gus Joubert's funeral. I don't know if any of you did. But Anna Libby, Gus's aunt, sent me this video that she had put together for the funeral. It's probably 20 minutes long. I cried like a baby. I wrote her and I said, I think that's the most painful, beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. To just think of what they went through with little Gus, and just, I don't even want to try to describe it for you. If you have the opportunity, I think you ought to watch it. And I think you might agree that it's the most painful and beautiful thing. So I saw that on Friday. And then yesterday, here come my daughters with their healthy babies. We didn't spend months in the ICU with those babies. Just healthy babies, healthy mamas. We just had a nice afternoon eating, watching the Olympics, playing in the creek. God's glory's in that. God's glory is in that. And praise God that we might not have to go through what Mark and Amanda went through to appreciate the health of our children and the way that God reveals His glory in their little peacefully sleeping faces or in their little hungry crying mouths. God's glory is in that. And when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're saying, open my eyes to the glories and the beauties of yourself that are all around me. And we haven't even gotten to what Jesus has done yet. But when we get to what Jesus has done, to see the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ, you know, we sing a couple of songs that kind of lead us through this progression. If I see God's glory here, I see God's glory there. Well, How Great Thou Art is one of them. Most of you will know that song. The writer starts off with admiring the way God reveals Himself in the heavens. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the universe which Thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. When I see all that, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. And then I like it that we sing all the stanzas of how great Thou art, because I really relate to the second stanza. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. But when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. That's that progression. I see Him in the grain of the floor. I see Him in the beauty of the stars. But when I think about Jesus, how worthy His name is to be hallowed. And that is the primary way that God does answer this prayer. It's not just in opening our eyes to the glories around me. It's opening our eyes to what He has revealed in Jesus Christ. Now, in conclusion, I think that there is a very important lesson that we can learn from where this appears in the Lord's Prayer. It appears first. So we start off with the preface, Our Father which art in heaven, and then the first thing that we say is, hallowed be thy name. We start off with thinking about God. We don't start off with praying about ourselves. We don't start off with praying about people that we know. We start off with praying about God and that His name should be hallowed. Now let me say that when your car is spinning out of control and you're about to go over a cliff, I think it's okay if you dispense with this first part and just say, God, save me. Just get right to the point. But as a general rule, take a moment to think about into whose presence you are coming. Take a moment to think there is something bigger than you or me and all of our concerns, and that is that God's name should be hallowed. Christianity is not first and foremost about the forgiveness of sins. Christianity is first and foremost about the hallowing of God's name. As I was writing down the outline that I'm using now and preaching from, I wrote down, this is the foundation of Christianity. And then I started thinking about that word foundation, and I thought, yeah, it is the beginning. It's the beginning. The Christian life commences when you recognize God's name and you admire God's name and you want to know God and you want to be right with God. It's not just that you want to get out of hell and have your sins forgiven. You recognize who God is. You're never going to embrace Jesus Christ unless you have some idea that God is a God who is a merciful God. You've got to have some knowledge of who God is in order to be saved. It doesn't have to be much. But you've got to know something about God. It is the foundation of the Christian life. But I sat there and I puzzled, well, should I make the next point that it is the walls of Christianity? Yeah, I could do that. Hallowing God's name is not just the foundation of the Christian life, it's the way that you grow in the Christian life. Learning who God is and then embracing what you learn about God and appropriating that into the way that you live and into the way that you think. And then wanting other people to know what it's like to know God and to be right with God. So it's no wonder that Jesus says in John 17, where it's recorded, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Yeah, hallowing God's name is not just the foundation of Christianity. It's the walls. It's the trusses. It's the roof. It's the chimney. Knowing God is the great goal of life, so that Jesus can say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Ah, when we're thinking right, that's what we really want. We want to see God, to know God, to be in that state of prickly, fearful, wonderful joy that we're in God's presence and we're not scared out of our wits. That we can be alone with God. And being alone with God is either the most terrifying or the most comforting thing that you can think. And as a result of what Jesus Christ has done to reconcile us to God and to open our eyes, transferring us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His Son whom we love, we're able to joyfully be in the presence of God. The position of this petition in the Lord's Prayer is significant. We start with God. And in fact, the next two petitions are also about God and not about our own selfish interests. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what I've found is that when we come into God's presence this way, recognizing who He is and praying about His name and His kingdom and His will first, that so often that puts our problems and our concerns into a perspective, but it also puts us into a frame of mind where we're able to pray about these things in accordance with God's will. So when you pray, come into the Lord's presence and say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Reveal your character to me. Help me to embrace what you reveal. Help me to demonstrate it in the way that I live. You have revealed your name in creation. You've revealed your name through the face of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will reveal your name through me, and that you would dispose all things to your own glory. Well, the primary way that God reveals his glory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we have the opportunity to recognize the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as we participate in the Lord's Supper. The bread represents the body of Jesus. The fruit of the vine represents his blood. This is a supper for people who have already begun to say, "Hallowed be thy name." This is a supper for people who are already Christians. So this is not the way that you become a Christian. In fact, if you're not a Christian, you should not take this. If you've not followed the Lord in baptism, you should not take this, because you're disobeying the Lord by not following him in baptism. And so, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have trusted in his broken body and his shed blood for your salvation, then you can participate in this meal, and it will be a true statement that you are depending upon Jesus. But if you have not yet received Christ, then you wouldn't be telling the truth by eating the bread and drinking the cup. And so, for your own good, as well as for the hallowing of God's name, you should abstain from this supper. But how happy we would be if the Lord saves you and you follow him in baptism and you can join us very soon in participating in this supper.